my life be like.
Listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's funny to me that people, when they're trying to insult me or then when they're trying to tell me I'm not any good at what I do, they say, you just work overnight. I'll tell you what, I love working this time slot. It's awesome that we get to keep people company all over the country. We have more stations cleared and listening and carrying the show around the country than any other show in the network. Love the fact that we speak to so many people, whether driving, working, whatever you're doing. We're just thrilled that you choose us to keep you company.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I just had a flashback. I looked over at my computer and it was a blue screen, and all I saw before it shut down was shutting down, dot, dot, dot. I don't think it's the dreaded blue screen because it just did restore back. Well, I had to turn it on again, but it restored back to the opening screen, the login screen. But I lost all of my windows, which kind of sucks. And weirdly enough, when you're in Google Chrome, if you just turn off the computer without logging out of your email and your social media, the next time someone opens up those windows, they'll still be there. It'll still be open. It's a little crazy. We have this one dude who works here. I won't name any names. Every single computer he uses, and he uses a bunch, control room, studio, side studios, newsroom, he just leaves them open everywhere you go. It's like every single computer, you can tell where he's been because his email and his social media are left open. Now, I don't post nasty messages or share inappropriate pictures like some people would do if they found another person's social media wide open. But I do follow myself and follow show accounts from other people's social media if they don't always follow me. You know, one thing that's really funny, it goes back now probably 9-10 years. A guy who used to produce on the show. Now, he was only here for a couple of months. He didn't want to really do this job. He was just trying to find a full-time gig, but really wanted to do something completely different. Anyway, I remember I sat down at a desk in the newsroom not long after he had left the show, and he forgot to log out of his Twix account, at the time Twitter. And so I went to follow myself and realized he had me muted. So cool. That's embarrassing. So I unmuted myself and followed myself from his account and just thought, well, this will be fun when he figures it out. So yes, I have to restore all of my windows, but that's going to take a little time. And so we're going to get to the ACC commissioner just because it's really interesting stuff. As ACC is now holding its media days and the lawsuits and also the potential for expansion, when you consider that the rich are getting richer in these, you know, those Power Four conferences now, really without the Pac-12. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's a Tuesday morning. NFL training camps are in full swing in many places now. Couple of teams still having to report veterans, but lots of QB news already. Ryan's going to attempt to run QB news for the first time ever. I have faith in him, although he's not even eligible for the job anymore if he doesn't edit the podcast where I messed up earlier in the show. You have to be able to cover up the host tracks. That's what you got to do. You got to cover for the host, Ryan.
I cut it out.
Nice. Boom. Points for Ryan. Also, we're asking you on Twix as well as Facebook, what events and sports are a must watch for you in the Paris Olympics? Because we're on the cusp. So whether it's at Amy After Hours, at A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, it's good to hear from so many of you. We're going to talk about basketball coming up. I know it's really popular. Many of you are responding with basketball, obviously. And I would say of the individual athletes, Simone Biles is probably getting the most play. Certainly her track record speaks for itself. But there are some other really incredible American athletes. And not that they have to be American, but I'm fairly honed in on the red, white, and blue. I become a real patriotic shill for the United States and Team USA. So yes, Simone Biles, but there are others, even in the gymnastics world. Remember Suni Lee and her achievements? She was second to Biles at the Olympic trials for the second time. And so she, even though she's battling kidney diseases, which makes her story more compelling, she's back in the Olympics again. She's the reigning all-around champion. So there are a lot of returning athletes that we'll have an opportunity to see again. But in addition, there'll be some fresh faces. Remember, Sha'Carri Richardson talked about her last hour, wasn't eligible to compete in the Olympics 3 years ago in Tokyo. And so now she's back. And after she had qualified them, she got suspended. But now she's back. And certainly in a vengeance, she'll represent the U.S. in the 100 meters and also should be part of the women's 4x100 relay team. So that's awesome. I'm excited for her to have a little bit of vindication. Let's see, other names in track and field. Sydney McLaughlin, she's married now, so it's Sydney McLaughlin Leverone, but she's a sprinter in track and field and actually turns 25 during these Olympic Games. Already has participated in multiple Olympics. She's got a pair of gold medals from Tokyo, and I can't wait to see what she does as an encore. And these are just a few of the athletes. Diana Taurasi and LeBron James, both elder statesmen, if you will. Asia Wilson is getting an opportunity to compete in the games, and she right now is the best player going in the WNBA. I don't know any of the athletes in breaking. Don't know any of the athletes in surfing.
Not yet.
Right. They could become household names after these Paris games. Would you think that the United States would be among the world leaders in surfing?
Maybe parts of the U.S.
Well, no, I mean as a nation in the Olympics. Would you think? Obviously, there's a lot of countries that have more coastline in like relative to the entire country, right? You have some island nations and that kind of stuff. But considering California and Hawaii, which I saw in May, we've got some damn good coastline for surfing, not to mention really competitive athletes. So I'm wondering if the United States is expected to be one of the best nations when it comes to surfing.
I'd say top five.
Who else? What other nations would you think would be competitive in surfing? I'm just throwing the Fiji. I have no idea. I'm just throwing Australia. I mean, they're obviously an island.
They're very good.
Yeah. So
I'm trying to think of places. I'm thinking of Surf's Up, the kids movie. Just trying to see like the areas we're from.
Uh huh. That's another thing we can Google. Why not? We Google everything else. So yeah, lots of fun stories that will come out of it. I can't wait for Katie Ledecky again in swimming. She's already so decorated and such an incredible story herself. Soccer for both the men's and women's side, because the men have qualified for the first time in a long time. But it's not the men that you would see on the World Cup team. It's actually a much younger team. So that should be fun too. What sports are must-watch for you in the Paris Olympics? So either of our social media sites or on the phones, 855, especially if you have a joke about breakdancing. Richard just found us on Twitter and said, I loved his breakdancing joke, but I'm old. No, 80s isn't old. I just didn't ever watch that movie. I was a little bit too young then to watch a movie about that, I suppose. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. All right, we'll get to some football coming up in, let's call it 10 minutes-ish. Yeah, 10 minutes-ish, if I can get out on time. But the ACC commissioner, he's the latest to hold court when it comes to the ever-changing landscape in college football. And yes, people want to know about the teams, right? The ACC's had some recent success when it comes to college football. But really the big story, and where every commissioner is starting right now, is about conference realignment, the changing landscape, really the volatile nature of college football because of NIL and transfer portal and the number of schools that are changing conferences this year, leaving other conferences in maybe precarious positions, not to mention the ACC is dealing with lawsuits. And so that was one of the first things that Jim Phillips talked about, is these lawsuits from Clemson and Florida State and the damage that they are doing.
With multiple ongoing legal cases, there are limits to what I can say. But I can state that we will fight to protect the ACC and our members for as long as it takes. We are confident in this league and that it will remain a premier conference in college athletics for the long-term future. These disputes continue to be extremely damaging, disruptive, and incredibly harmful to the league, as well as overshadowing our student athletes and the incredible successes taking place on the field and within the conference.
Now, here's the thing. I agree that if you're in the ACC, if you're in administration, if you are one of these schools, well, yes, the lawsuits are getting a lot of play. But honestly, I think if you polled 10 people on the street, even if they identified as sports fans, they probably wouldn't know anything about these lawsuits or what they're about. I just don't think it's as big a story. Now, again, it's big inside the ACC, and it also could be a precedent setter, meaning it really does behoove the ACC to fight them, because this could open up a whole can of worms. It could open up Pandora's box. And so, yeah, they don't want these lawsuits to be successful for a lot of reasons. But I would say average sports fan, even average college football fan, has no idea what this is about. Right?
No idea.
Did you know that shaking your head and nodding, they translate very well on the radio?
Well, I know that, but I, like you said, I don't know much about this. I'm pretty sure Florida State and Clemson are switching conferences, right?
Mm-hmm.
Leading to the destroyment of the ACC and some with media rights, right? And buying out of a contract. So they're suing
right.
Them?
So they want to change conferences. They are right now ticked off about how much it costs. So the withdrawal penalty from leaving the league and the grant of rights. Don't exactly know what that is. Not a lawyer. I think it's probably too technical for the show. But the league in turn has filed countersuits against both of these schools. And Phillips is saying, we're protecting our conference. We're protecting our territory and our other members. Meaning if you're going to withdraw, you're taking two sources of, in this case, two schools, taking two sources of revenue away from us. You're weakening our conference. So of course there's a penalty. It's a little bit like trying to break a lease. The landlords, they get to cover their rear ends. And if you're going to break a lease in a contract that you signed, well, you're going to have to pay them to cover the months that maybe they're going to be without a tenant. Now, obviously a little bit different details, but what the ACC is saying is losing these two schools, or losing any schools in theory, is weakening our ability to produce revenue, to generate revenue. And you're going to leave us with a major hole. So if you're going to leave, you're going to pay us before you go, because that's the penalty. We need to be able to recoup some of that money that will be lost when you leave. If that makes sense.
Did they not have like a buyout or...
Well, it's written into the charter. Yeah, it's written into the contracts. And he says, both Clemson and Florida State unanimously signed the grant of rights agreement in 13 and again in 16, and eagerly, according to Phillips, eagerly agreed to our current television contract and the launch of the ACC network. So it sounds like it has something to do with media rights. Maybe they had to pay into it and want their money back, something like that. So, yeah, you're looking at contentious relationships here, but also, again, the point is that if the ACC doesn't fight back and a court or a judge agrees with these two schools, then all of a sudden you're going to have a bunch of other schools, maybe in other conferences, saying, well, I mean, the court sided with these two schools. They don't have to pay the penalties, so let's try it ourselves and see if we can recoup the money, type of thing. It's a lot of legal jargon, but I think the idea is that it's precedent setting. And again, the ACC is fighting because they don't want to be weaker in a year in which both the Big Ten and the SEC are gaining really significant membership. And Phillips has to toe the line here. He has to try to talk up his confidence and the confidence in the conference as a whole.
We intend to continue to fight every day for the ACC and its members, and to do so in a way that I hope makes our membership proud. Where there are disagreements or disputes, I intend to continue to deal with them in a respectful and honorable fashion. The ACC deserves nothing less. The ACC will remain a healthy and vibrant conference that competes at the highest level.
He was vehement. He was passionate in his remarks. And of course, these lawsuits affect long-term future. So there's something to be said about that too. I mean, I could sense a little bit of desperation for the ACC here, but also it's about protecting your territory and saying to these schools, you sign contracts. They're not just pieces of paper. You can't just bolt anytime you want and change everything that we've established here without there being significant penalties. He also did say too, which I think this is worth noting, that not a day goes by that he doesn't spend time in the lawsuits. So that's taking time away from his duties and what else he could be doing to try to not just protect their territory, but potentially enlarge their territory. So yeah, he this is another quote too that I think applies in many realms and industries, not just in college football, but right now I can see why it's required. Forceful moments deserve forceful support and leadership. He was asked why he's so passionate, why he's so adamant, why he's fired up about all this thing, all of this stuff. Forceful moments deserve forceful support and leadership. And so, yeah, this is something that he's convicted about. And you can hear that conviction as he stands in front of the microphones and starts out ACC Media Days. All right, coming up, we'll do a little of the NFL QB news. We've got one top QB that's been cleared for contact after another lengthy stretch on the shelf with injury. We've got many quarterback battles, but one in particular in the NFC North. We get an update on that one. And then Jordan Love. Well, he and his camp have made the decision not to practice. What are they waiting for? Plus, John Harbaugh raving about Lamar Jackson as usual. Glad to have you with us. Good morning to you. If you're waking up on your Tuesday, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Have the off-season blues?
Blake Bortles delivers to his tight end.
Mariota drop, fires downfield. It's caught to the five, to the end zone. Oh, my goodness.
How about the Hail Mary from Winston?
He's to the five. He's in for the touchdown.
What a play by Manning.
Rodgers.
In the end zone. It is caught for the win.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. It is not available in all states, so beware, be forewarned. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, off-season QB news. I like it. Of course, we're not that far away from the beginning of the preseason, August 1st. August 1st, you guys, is not even 10 days away. It's right around the corner. And that's when the Hall of Fame game takes place on a Thursday night in Canton. And we've got essentially every team now with its rookies in camp. And then you've got veterans reporting every day through the end of this week when all the camps will be in full bloom. And so we begin with maybe not the biggest story about the quarterbacks on Monday, but we'll get to it. Haven't touched on this yet. For the Minnesota Vikings, they're replacing Kirk Cousins. They've got multiple options, one of them, and this is the big story. J.J. McCarthy, drafted in the first round by Minnesota, currently listed at number 2 on the depth chart behind Sam Darnold. But this is definitely a quarterback battle to watch, and Kevin O'Connell is going to be asked about it every single day.
I have no, preconceived, preset depth chart in my mind beyond. I believe I said, at the end of spring, Sam was, the number one quarterback. He had taken a lot of the reps and most of the reps with the ones. And Sam had a great spring. JJ came in here after being drafted and had a really productive spring as well.
So right now, Sam Darnold is listed as number one on the depth chart. J.J. McCarthy, number two. There are a lot of people that think if you draft J.J. that high, well, then you better throw him out there. I'm not sure the Vikings share that mindset. They don't want their first-round draft pick to get clobbered. They need him to be ready. We'll see how quickly they determine that he is field ready, that he is field prepared. Also in the NFC North, Jordan Love. What we found out is that he's with the team. He's going through meetings. He's definitely preparing for the season mentally, but he will not be out there in pads. He will not be running through drills with his team. And this is about the finances, according to general manager Brian Gutekunst.
Saturday night, you know, they kind of informed us that until we get something done that he would not practice again. So unless something gets done here before, you know, practice starts here pretty soon, he will not be practicing. But again, you know, I think this is something we're all working on, and we certainly understand where he's coming from. We'd like him to be out there. It's important for him to be out there. Obviously, you guys know how important practice is and, you know, working with his teammates. So, but as of now, until we get that resolved, you know, he will not be practicing. He'll be taking part in, you know, he reported last week, he's taking part in everything else.
He's there. He's just not going to practice. And this is really about him not getting hurt. I don't even know that it's so much about leverage with the Packers because, of course, he's their only option. I think it was Matt LaFleur who said they're not planning on bringing in another quarterback. They expect this to be a short-term issue. And so the follow-up with Gutekunst was whether or not a deal could happen in the next few days. And his quote was, I think so, but you never know.
We're working really hard to get that done. I think it's really important for us. At the same time, you know, the thing that I have confidence in is that we both want the same thing, right? We want Jordan here for a long time, give him that stability for him, and it gives us some stability for our group as well. So, you know, Russ is doing a great job with, you know, David Mulugeta and their team. Got two people who are very experienced with this, so I'm optimistic. These are big deals. It takes time. They're not as, you know, easy as some people may think.
When it comes to Jordan Love, he's got a lot of leverage right now. Again, I don't know that that's what he's doing because he's been there all summer long and is now in camp. He's not technically holding out, just doesn't want to get hurt until they can give him a deal that would then, I don't know if it would replace it, but would extend onto the end of his rookie deal and would offer him guaranteed money. And after the second half that he had, he certainly deserves that. And so I understand why. It doesn't sound like it's acrimonious. Doesn't sound like they're upset. This doesn't sound like an Aaron Rodgers situation. And certainly in the NFC North, I would think they are the team to beat when you consider what's happening around the rest of the division. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. All right, talking about another high-profile quarterback that we've missed seeing on the field. Zach Taylor, Cincinnati Bengals. Good news for not just his fan base, but for the rest of the NFL. Joe Burrow has been cleared for contact again after missing what second half of last season.
Yeah, he feels great and ready to go.
Assuming he's all well through the preseason, will you play him in the preseason?
Most likely. Yeah, I think for all of our starters, we would have done that last year. He got hurt. So I think, you know, the way we lean right now is to get our guys some playing time in the preseason. We'll let the first 2 weeks of practice dictate how much, when, how did we want it to look. But I think we're very open to that this year.
Burrow had that torn wrist ligament, and this was back to week 11. He got tackled, and that injury, it wasn't right on the heels of when he had the whole torn up knee going back to 2020, which was his rookie year. But it does feel like two full seasons of his career so far. As he goes into year number 5, it feels like we've lost him for two full seasons, even though he did play into week 11 last year. But yeah, the Bengals, they're not a competitive team as much without him. I know they ended up with a winning record, as did every team in the AFC North last year. Jake Browning filled in admirably, but he's not going to carry them to competitive elite, especially in the very crowded AFC. But it's good news that Joe Burrow is out there and cleared for contact. Now, I didn't look closely enough. Did he get a haircut yet? That's the question. John Harbaugh, one of the longest tenured coaches in the NFL. And even though we did not have Lamar Jackson to start camp for the Ravens, he was sick, so he was excused. They have a great vision for the reigning NFL MVP.
The vision for Lamar Jackson, and it's a vision. It's something you see it like it's already happened. You can see it like it's already been done. The victory has already been won when you pour into a vision. And the vision that we have together is that Lamar Jackson is going to become and be known and be recognized as the greatest quarterback ever to play in the history of the National Football League. That's the vision.
He's so passionate, and he's so Harbaugh. We now have two Harbaughs in the NFL. It's the same Harbaugh that told us he was doing bed checks to start training camp. I still can't get over that. Your head coach and bed checks. I'm not sure which part of that is the most incredible or astounding, but all of it kind of smacked me upside the head. Also, I love the way that Harbaugh protects his quarterback, stands up for his quarterback, believes in his quarterback.
There's a lot of stuff that's said to you, you got to just scratch your head about and kind of wonder, what's that person even thinking, you know? So, but we take it personally. You know, Lamar's a guy all his life. Lamar Jackson has been a guy who's been answering those same questions. I'm talking about since he was a kid, junior high school, college, the draft, the success he's had in the National Football League, and it still comes up.
John Harbaugh in midseason form already from the AFC North. Again, going to be very competitive, and I can't wait to see the NFL MVP back on the field again. He's got a new backfield mate in Derrick Henry, 30 years old. He still can truck guys. We'll hear from him a little bit later on. Finally, Aaron Rodgers. You know, we hadn't heard from him since he skipped mandatory OTAs and went off to Egypt on a vacation. Now, he's given his whole sob side of the story about how it's not really OTAs. It's just a couple of days designated for practice, blah, blah, blah. I don't really care anymore. So much of what he says, I don't care about. But on the Pardon My Take podcast, he was asked about how much longer he will play. When will he retire?
How many more years?
I don't know. I'm not sure. This one for sure.
This one for sure.
I wanted to do two good ones and to give us a chance to retire a Jet, you know, win two Super Bowls.
Yep, that'd be yep. Great. And then do the Kyle Orton.
Yeah.
Is that how you retire?
Legend, of course.
Just walk off. You know, there are going to be a lot of people who aren't sorry to see him go. The thing is, it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, and I'm certainly being snarky about it. He says this one for sure. Well, dear Lord, I hope so. The Jets rearranged their entire freaking roster for you last season, and you lasted four snaps, old man. Four snaps. You owe them a year. And actually, I think you should kind of play for free. Not that that happens anywhere in pro sports, but you owe them a year, and maybe you need to make good on a year after that. You left them in the lurch. Four snaps. And then the entire season for the Jets was completely derailed. A lot of people. Either lost jobs or got jobs based on you as the starting quarterback, and it did not work out. That's putting it mildly. Not to mention jerking our chain pretty much the entire final 3 months about whether or not he would return and how he's on pace to be the quickest athlete ever to recover from a torn Achilles. Wah, 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 wah. Just play, and then I'll maybe be interested in what you have to say again. Capiche? Comprende? I can't with him sometimes. He maybe more than anyone else on this planet loves to hear himself talk. Silence is better than Aaron Rodgers. And I'm a talker, but I do like silence. It's a lot of hot air. How about play first, then talk? Seems easy enough. On Twix, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, Aaron Rodgers is not competing in the Olympics. It's a safe zone. It's an Aaron Rodgers-free zone. My goodness, the season hasn't even started yet. I'm already annoyed. That's what I get for talking about him at all. It makes my blood pressure go up. No, it doesn't really do that. I just, stop talking. Just get back on the field and then we can talk again. What events and sports are you considering must watch in the upcoming Paris Games that begin this week? Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Which sports or events are a must watch when it comes to the Paris Games? You know what? I'm kind of taking requests. If you tell me that there are events that you must see and must follow, then maybe we'll highlight those when we're here on the air, because a lot of these events will be taking place while we are doing our show. It's the beauty of international events across the pond. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Speaking of Olympic events, final tune-up for the USA men's basketball team. Once again, LeBron James to the rescue against Germany.
A lot of post screens. James, late in the clock. LeBron James bodying inside. He scores!
He's a man. Goodness, does he take over? You have a right to do that.
The Kings flex.
Well, he was flexing. The bench was going crazy because he has 8 points in a dominant fourth quarter stretch. And even though there was a three-pointer that was part of that run late in the fourth against Germany in what was another tight battle similar to the one against South Sudan over the weekend, what really stood out to me about LeBron's performance is his sheer brute force. It's brute strength. That's still one of the greatest advantages that LeBron has. He gets a full head of steam. He essentially starts to run downhill. And like a Derrick Henry, there's not a whole lot you can do to stop him. And so that's where Germany had no answers for LeBron. And even the head coach, Gordon Herbert, he talked about, you know, Germany's competitiveness, the ability to hang until this guy who's 39 years old.
First quarter, they had us back on our heels. You know, we had a tough first quarter. I thought we regrouped some in the second quarter. I thought the third quarter we played our best basketball. We played with good tempo. And, yeah. And somebody named LeBron James made some pretty good plays at the end.
Somebody named LeBron James made some pretty good plays. Yeah, he's good for that. And actually, Germany is the current FIBA world champion, so this is a quality opponent for Team USA. And when LeBron was walking off and the game was on Fox Sports, and then Fox had its cameras that was capturing him kind of walking underneath back into the locker room, he was saying competitive. I love it. I love it. Meaning we need tests. We don't want to run up the scores against cream puffs. We need teams that are going to challenge us and push us so that we are more prepared for these Olympics. So we're in situations like this where the games might be hanging in the balance as we get down toward the end. So I appreciate that. They don't want to just run up the table, run up the score. They don't want it to be easy. What they really need is good quality gauges before they get to Paris. And this game taking place in London, so last tune-up, and then next stop is the Olympics. He finishes with 20 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and he was, as we said, named the male flag bearer for Team USA, so what an honor at 39 years old. But first things first, big win for the team.
Felt pretty good. I mean, we got better tonight, and that's the most important. We was tested by a great Germany team. They was a world champion last year, so you know it was a good test for us. And I'm glad we was able to once again, you know, keep our composure, persevere like we did the other day versus South Sudan. It was a good win.
I like the way Drew Holiday puts it. Now, think about it. Drew's a two-time NBA champion. He's part of the reigning champs, the Boston Celtics. He's highly decorated in his own career. You've also got Steph Curry, best long-range shooter the NBA's ever seen. Anthony Davis, who gets a front-row seat to LeBron every game. Joel Embiid, who's an MVP himself. Who else are we talking about? Guys like Devin Booker and Anthony Edwards, younger guys, of course, who would have grown up watching LeBron James. But all of these guys, Kevin Durant, who right now is still on the roster, even though Steve Kerr keeps getting asked about him because he's unable to play at this point. Kawhi Leonard gets replaced on the roster. This is the best of the best, the cream of the crop. And yet you've got a guy like Drew Holiday and also the guys on the bench who are freaking out over LeBron. I mean, they're just in awe of what this guy can do as well.
I think LeBron just took over, and that's just his personality. That's him as a leader. I think we had some great looks, and we also had some struggles. And I think when we saw those struggles, LeBron just kind of took the key. So him just being him and going out there and leading his team.
Remember when LeBron was asked about his role and what he said is I'll do whatever the team needs to win? I believe that for sure, but I do not in any way believe that he ever, ever was willing to or thought he would have to take a backseat role, if you will, where he wouldn't be the featured player with the ball in his hands when the game is on the line. And the last two, that's exactly what we've seen. Not that the majority of guys on this roster aren't also capable of taking over in the end, but this is LeBron, and this is how he's conditioned, and he's not generally a guy who's going to cede that responsibility to anyone else.
I just think it's more of an issue that everybody else is not flowing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron by himself.
So he has to take over.
He shouldn't have to score 8 points in the fourth quarter and continue to save Team USA. It should be a consistent full team scoring effort in the fourth quarter where Curry, Embiid, Anthony Davis, whoever's out there should all be contributing, not one person.
One of the questions about Team USA was how they would perform in the paint against nations that do have a kind of a better inside presence, or as Ryan points out, a little more organized in the interior. And what we've seen is Anthony Davis excels. Embiid has been playing really well. LeBron's had his way when he's gotten inside the paint. So they're going to get better with every game that they play. And I think that's critical. Again, a lot of these teams from other nations, they play year round. Whereas Team USA, albeit more practice than the women's team who just arrived yesterday. And I don't know if it was, they were together yesterday. I don't know if they were in Paris or they're also making a stop somewhere to do some practicing. But I would think, though, that they're likely to go hot and heavy for these next few days. But also, they're coming off of their own WNBA first halves. You can't push them that hard because they've really not had much time off since the season started. And so they're relying on experience and the leadership of athletes who have been there and done that. Whereas the U.S. men at least have had several weeks now where it's almost like they're in summer camp, right? Where they've been living together, working together, eating together, sleeping together, you know what I mean? And so they've at least had a few weeks to get acclimated, whereas the women's team, I mean, they've got a couple of days and the games are underway. So there's a lot of pressure on both of these teams repping the red, white, and blue. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So glad to have you with us. As we are talking about the NBA, I just wanted to kind of shoehorn this in because Paul George, he told us on his podcast that the reason he left the Clippers is because he wanted an offer that was the same as Kawhi's. I'll take what you're paying Kawhi, and I'll be good with that, even though Kawhi didn't sign a max deal. He didn't necessarily need the max that he could get. And he says that the Clippers never did respect him enough to give him that. Finally, the owner of the Clippers, Steve Ballmer, and he was at an event and he was speaking out, kind of responding to what Paul said and defending the Clippers and what they offered PG-13.
We made Paul what I consider a great offer, but it was a great offer in terms of us thinking about how to win championships. It wasn't what Paul wanted, so he wanted to go, and I respect him for that.
of course, you're going to hear that. You're going to hear that they gave him an offer they felt like was competitive. Really, the big thing is that they were looking for something different, looking for something more, trying to add other pieces. I mean, the James Harden mess, and this is pre-Russell Westbrook getting traded, but what they've given up to bring in guys like Kawhi Leonard, like James Harden, Westbrook for a time, but now he's gone, and feeling like they were making more sacrifices than what they were getting in return. I can imagine if that's accurate. That's how a lot of people feel about the Clippers. You gave up so much to get these guys in, and did it make a bit of difference? Not really. You still didn't achieve your ultimate goal, and nor do I think you cracked the upper echelon of the Western Conference by itself. Forget the upper echelon of the NBA.
You know, from a basketball perspective, Paul is a fantastic player, future Hall of Famer, I would say. But we knew we needed to continue to get better.
Short and to the point. Steve Ballmer not clapping like a walrus and not laughing, two things that he does on a fairly regular basis when he's cheering on his beloved Clippers. Yeah, I mean, it's July, so I can't get too excited about NBA rosters, but I did think it was good to hear from Steve Ballmer as kind of a reply to what Paul George said. You guys are weighing in the must-watch sports and events for the upcoming Olympics, and I like this from Dana on our Facebook page. He says, I want to see Simone Biles make the full comeback. Remember in Tokyo, she withdrew from a few events and cited mental health and just not being right and not wanting to put herself in danger. And it was probably the biggest story to come out of those Tokyo games. Anyway, Dana goes on to say, I feel she should carry the U.S. flag. Well, there's a real possibility because at 27, she's nearly unheard of in gymnastics. I could imagine that LeBron James at 39 and Simone Biles at 27 would be the perfect tandem to lead Team USA into the opening ceremony. So I think that's awesome. Lewis goes with swimming. Greg says, I agree on basketball, both male and female. And the Canadian women's soccer team being the defending Olympic champs, also a must. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.